Say Keith will be coming to speak to us shortly, and he's going to be speaking from 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to read, I think 3 and 4 he's speaking from, but I'm going to read a short passage from 1 John 3 to start. So 1 John chapter 3, starting at verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. So let's just pray for Keith as he comes up. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this place. Thank you for the freedom that we have to come here and hear your word opened up before us. And Lord, we want to thank you now for your servant Keith. We pray that you would fill him afresh with your Spirit. You'd free his tongue to speak the words that you would have him speak. And pray that you would open our ears that we might each hear what you would say to us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I wonder why you got out of bed this morning. There was probably a child who needed some attention. There was probably a spouse who needed a cup of tea. It could have been, of course, that you all were so keen to be here this morning that you realised you couldn't stay in bed and be comfortable there if you were going to meet all us lovely people here this morning. I'm sure it's that, really. But it's often to do with relationship, isn't it? Why we get out of bed in the morning is something to do with who we relate to. And I'm especially thinking today about our relationship to God, because that lies at the bottom of everything that we are as Christians, that lies underneath. It gives us the strength, it gives us the reason. And that's why we're here this morning. Ultimately, only one person matters, and that's God. Because I, as a Christian, am his creation. I'm made by him. Everything I am is due to him. I have a relationship with him. I belong to humanity, to the people that he made, to the humanity that he made. I'm part of all of this crowd of people looking around you, thinking about how different they are. God has made each one of them. He's made me. I've got that relationship with him. But more than that, even as a Christian, I know that I'm loved. I'm provided for. I'm given grace. I'm given goodness. Every day I receive good things from the hand of God himself, things that I can't always provide for myself, and even when I can, it's only because of the ability that he's given me. So it's that duty that we have, that debt that we have to God, that gives us value, gives us strength each day. And it's ultimately, of course, it's to do with Jesus and Jesus coming to give his life for me. To me, this is the heart of being a Christian, that relationship that I have because Jesus came. And I want you to think about that this morning as we go through, about what relationship do you have with that Lord who has given you so much, including his own son, to die and rise again for you. Now, I was reading a novel just this last couple of weeks ago when I was preparing this, and the novelist actually wrote in the middle, one of the characters said, it's a stupid story, isn't it, that one man dying so long ago in a very remote country could do anything for this world, someone who was hung on a cross and died. And I thought to myself, that's just so untrue. It is so unreal to look at it like that. And I wanted to show you this morning just one or two examples of what that means to follow the Lord Jesus and to be changed by him. So here's one story just to start off, half a story actually.
When Lecrae was a small child, his father abandoned him and his mother.
I wrestled with a sense of self-worth and am I even valuable? Because my dad decided, you know, drugs would be better than hanging out with his own son or staying with me.
He found a sense of belonging in the hip-hop culture on the streets.
My uncles were young and wrapped up in the streets and, you know, gangs and drugs and just promiscuous, and I idolized it. I wanted to be the gang member my uncle was. I wanted every tattoo he had. You know, I saw my first gun and all these different things, and I was like, man, this must be what it means to be a man. And I'm just sitting on their laps, soaking all this stuff in, like, wow, you know? And so I was like, you know, a child of rap and hip hop, just seeing this world come up around me.
In his teens, Lecrae realized something was still missing.
I knew my ways were unfulfilling. You know, I chased power, I chased pleasure, I chased possessions, I chased just something satisfying. And I knew I kept getting let down. I knew it was insanity, and I was never going to find fulfillment, but I didn't know what else to look for.
He kept a Bible in his car as a good luck charm. One night, police caught him trespassing and in possession of drugs. He was cuffed and sat in the police car waiting to go to jail.
And the police officer goes to my car, and he saw the Bible, and he came back to the police car, and he said, son, you got a Bible in your car? And I said, yes, sir. He said, you know what that Bible's about? And I was like, I need to. And he said, well, you know what, today I'm gonna let you go, because I want you to get into that Bible, and I want you to start living it. And that really did something to me, and that really rocked me, and I didn't want to get in any kind of trouble like that again.
He joined some friends at a Christian conference, where he heard what Jesus did for him on the cross.
And he talked about Jesus, you know, carrying his cross on the mount on Golgotha, and just the turmoil and the pain that Jesus went through, that Jesus would take all that on his own back, floored me. And I said, I don't want to live like this anymore. And I just bowed out and said, Jesus, I'm sorry, and just broke down crying.
For a year, Lecrae walked a line between college partier and committed Christian. His life was spinning out of control, and he knew it.
Just cried out to the Lord one day. I said, God, I feel like I'm going to kill myself or kill somebody. And I said, please, just stop me before it gets to that point. I said, stop me. Do whatever you got to do. Just don't kill me.
He was finally stopped in a massive car accident that left him evaluating his double life.
I came out without a scratch. You know, my car had flipped over. It was dented in, damaged up, and here I am without a scratch on me. And I said, okay, God, I need to change.
Later that night, he gave his life completely over to God.
Oh, I was radically changed. To realize that I had been living a lie, to realize that I was unsatisfied and I would never be satisfied until I came to Jesus, was so revolutionary for me that I wanted everyone to taste it. I wanted everyone to see how awesome God was.
Lecrae.
That's just one part of a story. We'll see the rest of it a little later on. But this morning on the radio, I was listening to the morning service, the morning worship, and a lady there was working in Christian work amongst human traffickers, and she said that same thing. It was the fact that I was loved by God that made me able to do this work. And I thought to myself, that is true for so many Christians across this world. The fact that they are loved, the fact that they know that Jesus died for them, makes it possible for them to live a different kind of life. And that is what it's all about here this morning. This is how John puts it. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. We love because he first loved us. Now, have you really taken that on board this morning, that you are loved? I am loved. There is someone there who cares that much about me that he did that for me. And that gives me a spring, as it were, a start every morning as I get out of bed, to live in love. Now, living in love is a bit of an impossible target these days in some ways. The word's been hijacked in all sorts of ways, and we have to be careful what we mean by it. The world loves power, as we're seeing so much of at the moment. The world loves sex and erotics and all sorts of things like that. Possessions. If you look at the television, you'll find a program called Love Island. It's a program which isn't about love at all. It's about passing passions. It's about people being motivated by their feelings. And that's not love, not for us, not as Christians. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That's what love is all about. Even when you see this in the newspapers, when you see examples of it, people stop and take notice. When people stop and lay down their lives for others, they know that that's real love. Paul says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then he says this, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Life is made alive by Christ's love. And none of those other things, the power, the eroticism, possessions, they can't have that effect on people. They don't change anybody. But God's love does. Because we are loved, we live. And then I was trying to work out, well, okay, but what does this mean? I understand where the motivation comes from. I understand what God has done for me and why I love people as a result. I try to love people at least because of he's loved me. But what does it mean? And I remembered a book I read a long time ago, a book in the 1980s, which was called Radical Discipleship. And for some reason, I pulled this book off the shelf and just opened up the passage on love. And this is what he came up with. Five different kinds of aspect of love. Forgiving, given and forgiving. Comforted and comforting. Welcomed and welcoming. Justified and seeking justice. Secure and offering security. Five ways in which God's love changes us to a different way of life. And that seems to me to sum up just what we're at as Christians. And John mentions all these as he goes through his letter in different ways. I can't cover all of them. And we've already looked at all those chapters. But let's look at John again and think about these five aspects. Think about the relationship that we have with God. This is what John writes in 1 John 4. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He's given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. So we know and rely on the love that God has for us. And that's what these five areas are about. Think about it in your own life. Think about being forgiven, first of all. That sense of, no matter who I am, what I've done, because of what Jesus has done, I've been forgiven. And that really changes my life, my attitude. Jesus told that story, didn't he, of the unforgiving servant. And the reason he couldn't forgive was he'd forgotten that he'd been forgiven himself. For us, it's the other way around, I hope. I hope that whatever you've done in your life, whatever you've been responsible for, whatever you've undergone and suffered and not been able to forgive yourself, you can now deal with that because Jesus has died for you, died for me on the cross. By admitting my need for forgiveness, what I see is that my neighbor is in need of forgiveness too. When you look at the person next to you, when you look at the person in need, what do you see? Do you see another beggar wanting bread just like you were? Someone who's forgiven, someone who's started along the way but needs help along the way. Jesus told us that story to warn us to remember our own need and forgiveness, and then we can offer forgiveness to others as well. And that was just one aspect of being loved by God, one aspect of that relationship that I began to think about. The other second aspect was the comforted. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, the God of all comfort who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble. And this worries me a little bit because sometimes with being Christians, we get too comfortable. We get too much thinking about ourselves, our own forgiveness, and all rejoicing in the good things. But the whole point about the good things that we receive is that we should be reaching out to others as well, offering them what we have received ourselves. When you accept God's comfort in faith, you can comfort others as well. And one of the part of that is being welcomed. I love the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Just a shock that they even thought about Jesus, their leader, their rabbi, their Lord, if you like, kneeling at their feet and washing their feet. And he said to them, if you are let me wash your feet, you'll be able to wash other people's feet as well. And that surely is where we're at, isn't it? When we accept that we need to be welcomed by Christ. Because washing feet was a way of welcoming people, of bringing them into the house. Washing feet is something we don't do literally, but I hope we do it metaphorically, because we need to be accepting that we're welcomed and that we can welcome others in the same way. And then we come to an even more difficult one. We've covered this, Steve talked to us about human trafficking and justice a little while ago. But it's when we know that we're justified, when we know that even though we're wrong ourselves, God has put us right by his grace, that we can reach out with justice for others. We can't do that if we don't know what it is to be forgiven and what it is to be justified by God. We're put right with God by his love alone so that we can go out and offer justice to other people. And that changes us. Now, I don't know how you feel about human trafficking, like it was on the radio this morning. It's even here in Chard. It's even here in Somerset. There are people, you know, washing cars and doing all sorts of things in this area because they've been trafficked humanly. And the people in the Salvation Army who were there this morning were talking about how they were able to rescue some of these people. We're often blind to this, aren't we? We often don't see the suffering of people around us. But when we understand that there is need for justice, then we can go out to them because we know a God who forgives the guilty, a God who will help the helpless. We can go out with justice as well. This is how we know who the children of God are, says John. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. So there's another aspect of being forgiven, being loved, being in relationship with God. And lastly, we're in security. In all these things, we are more than conquerors, says Paul in Romans 8, through him who loved us. Neither death nor life nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What are we doing with that security? That sense that, you know, your life in Christ goes on forever. Nothing can actually harm you. Nothing can actually change your relationship to God, even death itself. We're secure in that as Christians. So what are we going to do with the insecurity that's all around us? Our love can reach out to other people because of who we are in Christ. That's really challenging to me. The relationship that I have with God means that I can have a relationship with others which is secure, which is able to carry on and not to be held back. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He's given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Whoever lives in love lives in God. God is love, and God lives in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't feel very perfect. I don't think my wife would agree that I'm perfect. I don't know about you and your people you're with, but I'm told all the time that my faults, not by Jill, not by other people, but by myself as I look at the situation that I have. But the encouragement that this gives me here this morning is that we may not be perfect, but his love puts that life inside us, that sense of real life inside you. It may not be a blaze, but there's a spark there that no one can deny, a change which has happened in my life, which means I move on from where I am at. And we're just going to see the second part of that video now, just to see what happened to Lecrae after he became a Christian.
Lecrae typed out his testimony and handed it out on his college campus. He talked about God to anyone who would listen.
And I was proud. I was proud to have my story on that piece of paper. And I got laughed at, and I got called Jesus freak and Jesus boy and, you know, all kind of stuff. But I was changed.
Before long, he learned he could blend his passion for God and his ability as a rapper.
I thought that God and rap would never work. I thought that God wasn't okay with rap. You know, people knew I used to rap, and I went to the Bible studies, and someone said, hey, why don't you, you know, rap about Jesus? And so I just on the spot, I just came up with the rap about Jesus, and they were like, man, that was good. And I was like, wow, Lord, maybe you could really do something with this.
He began ministering to kids in juvenile detention.
I ended up there for 3 years, every weekend, just sharing my heart and sharing scripture and rapping as their praise and worship on Sundays.
His music has spread around the world. His newest CD, Rebel, debuted at number 2 on iTunes. But his purpose goes way beyond selling CDs.
I want to use my art form to encourage the movement in the church to say, hey, let's engage the city. Let's rebuild the city. And so that's really where my heart is to rebuild cities, is to see the city come to Jesus. And if you don't know him, you're missing out on purpose, meaning, and life in general. And so I'm passionate about seeing people spend eternity with him. He's awesome.
The love of a father that he missed as a child, he now finds in his relationship with God.
He's just loved on me when I felt like I didn't deserve love, when I felt like I was unlovable. I'm really grateful, and I feel fortunate to have a huge family that is beyond race, creed, culture, and have a father who shepherds us all. And when I think about that, my mind is blown. And there's nothing like it.
Now, as I look over the congregation this morning, I don't see many rappers. But I do see people with potential. I do see people with lives that have been changed by God so that they can go out and use the gifts that they've got to reach out to others in love. And that's the challenge for me this morning. What gifts am I using that God has given me to live for him? Knowing God's love changes my life. It's not just feelings, it's what I do that matters. Caring for others as God cares for me. That's the question for me this week. Forgive, comfort, welcome, bring justice, bring security. There's just 5 aspects. You've probably thought of others as well. But the question is, can we go and do likewise? Not like the Good Samaritan, but like Jesus. Can we emulate his love? Who is my neighbor? The answer is anyone that God puts in my way. And that's the question for me this morning. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. The challenge is, what am I going to do about it? Thank you for listening.